The reason Calvinists, I don't like to even call myself a Calvinist. I honestly believe I'm trying to follow the Bible. And in following the Bible, I happen to line up pretty close to where Calvin did. Not on everything. I don't agree with him on everything. But I try to follow the Bible. And in looking at the Bible seriously, I honestly believe text after text demands compatibilist freedom. That is, that freedom by which a human being, a person most wants to do, chooses out of the strongest desire of his heart, is compatible with oversight and control, his ordination in a way that God's purposes are accomplished through the actions and choices of the human who does what he wants to do. Look with me at some passages. 5, verses 4 through 8. You remember that Joseph comes to his brothers and finally reveals to them. And he says to them, now don't be grieved in verse 5, Genesis 45, verse 5. Don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here into Egypt. Deserve life. Now notice, it doesn't say, don't be grieved that you sold me here because and turned it into something good. That's not what it says. Don't make it say something. Say, it says, don't be grieved because you sold me here, for God sent me. Verse 7. God sent me before you to preserve life for your remnant in the earth. Verse 8, Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God here. Now if you ask Joseph the question, do you really believe that your brothers put you in that pit, sold you to the men into Egypt? Did they really do that? Did they do what they wanted to do? What do you suppose he would answer? Absolutely yes. Now Joseph tells us, behind all that, I now understand God was at work from the beginning, so much so that the ultimate reason is not because of what my brothers did. It's because God sent me here through what my brothers did. 50, verse 20, Joseph says to his brothers who are afraid he's going to take revenge on them, retaliation, now that his father has passed away. And Joseph says to them, as for you, the brother, meant against me, but God meant it for good. So here you see the asymmetrical of the same activity. If you ask the question, who sent Joseph to Egypt? How do you answer that question biblically? Who sent Joseph to Egypt? Don't you have to say, the brothers did, God did. It's God. But the both and answer does not indicate that the moral framework in each of them that come together is identical. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Another great text that shows this is Acts 2:23. He says concerning Christ, this man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. You think of this question. Think how important it is how you answer the question. How did Jesus get... You have to say wicked men put him there. Wicked men. Men who are morally responsible. Men who have committed the greatest moral atrocity in the history of the sin of nailing the Son of God to the cross. Is that the full answer to the question? How did Christ... Absolutely not. Oh my goodness. Isaiah 53. The Lord to crush him. Can you imagine such a statement? 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who put Jesus on that cross? Men did. The two have to go together. Acts 4, where Peter explains this further, you anointed both Herod. Now listen, four categories of people. This is Acts 4, verses 27 and 28. The Gentiles, plural, and the peoples of Israel, plural, to do what and your purpose predestined to occur. How can you possibly avoid the conclusion what they did, what God did, goes together? The very same action God does in His love and grace put Christ on the cross. What do you have left?
You've got 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Isaiah 10. This is an incredible text. Which starts out, we won't be able to go through all of this by any means, but look at the whole passage yourself. Isaiah 5, woe to you, Assyria. Now what does woe mean? It doesn't mean stop a horse, you know. It's not that kind of woe. Woe to you, Assyria means you are in trouble, Assyria. What you have done is woe to you, Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff in whose indignation I send it against a godless nation. I commission it against the people of my feet, trample underfoot, to capture, to seize, to plunder. Do you understand what this text is saying? God raised up Assyria to be His tool. tool of judgment against His own people. The very thing God commissioned them to do. Bring judgment against His people by trampling them in the streets. They did precisely what God raised them up to do. He then says to them, so intend in your heart. That is, you don't see yourself as an instrument of God, nor do you plan in your heart. For your purpose of many nations, you have an arrogant heart, Assyria, and so you will be judged upon Israel. How do you answer that question? Well, Assyria did. Surely Assyria, this proud, arrogant people, did this. And that's true. But it is not the whole answer. God raised up that wicked nation and used that wicked to accomplish His preordained purposes. They did what He designed to do and holds them accountable because of the proud hearts that they have. This is the last passage I'll use and then we'll move on to the next part. 2 Peter 1. Know this first of all, that nature is a matter of one's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. You all hold to biblical inspiration, do you? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Every grammatical construction, every syntactical arrangement in the original text, as written by prophets under inspiration, is the Word of God? Ask yourself the question, how could this, if for every word they wrote, they could have written otherwise, and God cannot control what they write. Ever could have been otherwise, and God cannot control what they write. I tell you, if they had libertarian freedom, and this is very lucky. That's the only thing I can conclude. Very, very lucky. Every word, every grammatical construction. It's an amazing thing, this inspiration.